Seed Seller Training Radio, episode number 14.
Welcome to Seed Seller Training Radio, the only podcast that helps you handle objections, overcome obstacles, and reach your sales goals in the world of selling seed. Internet radio for seed sellers with your host, Rod Ostis.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Seed Seller Training Radio. My name is Rod Ostis, and this is the podcast dedicated to the world of selling seed, the most difficult product in the world to sell. Why? Because seed is a living organism, living and breathing with over 1,000 different variables that can interfere with its performance every year. That means that the only way both you and your customers can be assured that your varieties will perform as you want them to is to minimize the damage from those 1,000 variables. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about one of the biggest mistakes most farmers make when trying to produce maximum yields. When farmers make this mistake, they allow many of those variables to run rampant over their crop. And it's a mistake. It's a big mistake most farmers don't even realize they're making. It involves splitting the planter. And I'm going to give you 12 very important reasons why a farmer should never split his planter. This is a crucial mistake that many farmers continue to make when it comes to the planting season. And it's a job of you, the seed seller, to put a stop to it. Unfortunately, it is often the seed seller and his company who actually promotes the idea of splitting the planter, thinking that farmers can actually get some first-hand information on which varieties are better. 12 reasons why your customer should never split his planter. Over the years, farmers developed what they thought was an extremely valid method for determining which varieties perform best on their farms in any given year. They would then use that information to make seed buying decisions for the next year. This method was called splitting the planter. The farmer would divide his planter in half and put one variety in half of the seed boxes and another variety in the other half. For example, if he had a 12-row planter, he would put one variety in six boxes on the left side of the planter and another variety in six boxes on the right side of the planter. As a result, he ended up with 12 rows of each variety planted alternately across the field. He would watch the two varieties compete against each other all season long, with the competition culminating at harvest time. The variety that yielded the most at harvest time was the one he would decide to plant again next season. To farmers, and to most seed sellers for that matter, this sounds like the fairest and most accurate way to test varieties on any farm, but it's not. In fact, it's not only extremely invalid for determining which variety is genetically superior, it also places the grower into an impossible situation when it comes to managing each of the varieties for top yield. I'm going to give you 12 very important reasons why a farmer should never split his planter. He should instead plant each variety one at a time in a block formation. Reason number one, growers don't know emergence ratings to make sure both varieties emerge within 12 hours of each other. Any plant that is 1 to 2 collars behind all of the other plants when it emerges will not produce a full ear. There should be no more than 12 hours variation among seedlings that are emerging. Seedling emergence can vary enough within one variety, but when alternating varieties are planted across the field, it significantly increases the amount of variation in the entire field when two varieties are planted alternately across the field. Number two, growers can't avoid negative effects of pest control management strategies on varieties in different stages. When raising corn, for example, standard operating procedure is to apply fungicide at both V4 to V6 and again at VT stage. That goal cannot be accomplished if the varieties have different growth stages. The ideal window for application for one variety at least will be missed, and that will prove highly detrimental to performance of that variety and to the entire field. Reason number three, growers don't know when each one of the varieties needs nutrients. When does each of the varieties planted in an alternating pattern take up most of their nitrogen? Most farmers have no idea. Yet if they make a single application of N during the season, they expect the amount applied and the stage when it was applied to meet the needs of both varieties. It seldom does. Reason number four. Growers must know flowering dates and silk dates that are so necessary to make sure there's enough pollen uniformly throughout the field for all the varieties at all times. but few, if any, growers have that information. Alternating varieties planted across a field will flower at different times. That actually decreases the amount of pollen available in the field. It does not increase it. An early variety may be done shedding pollen before the late one even begins, so the late one cannot even help the early one. Reason number five. Growers don't know days to black layer of each variety to estimate uniform optimum harvest time in order to produce the highest yields possible. Top yields occur when corn is harvested between 22 and 28% moisture. Anything below those levels can result in up to 10% invisible yield loss. Unless this information is known, one variety may black layer and begin drying down a week or more sooner than the later one. That means that at least half of the field is now below the ideal harvest moisture and is costing the farmer big profits even before he begins harvest. Reason number six. Most growers don't know the rate of dry down, stalk ratings, standability ratings, and overall expectations of plant health for each variety. Each variety is different. They all have strengths and weaknesses, but farmers need to know what those strengths and weaknesses are so they can manage them throughout the season. Most varietal weaknesses require application of nutrients at key times. That cannot be done when two varieties are mixed together in the same field. Reason number seven. Growers most often don't know exact plant heights or even how to properly measure plant heights to make sure any rate of growth differences don't overshadow one of the varieties. One of the greatest concerns researchers have when testing varieties for yield is border effect. Border effect occurs when hybrids are planted side by side, but one is taller than the other, shading the shorter variety from adequate sunlight. Our next reason, number eight, will tell you even more reasons why avoiding border effect is so important. Reason number eight. 95% of what goes into a corn plant comes from the air in the form of carbon dioxide, water, and sunlight. That creates photosynthesis, a mechanism by which the plant produces food for itself. Any interruption in that process can have devastating effects on a variety's ability to produce top yields. This is the reason why plants that fall behind early in the spring never catch up. They are constantly shaded by larger plants around them that steal the life-giving sunlight, essential for utilizing carbon dioxide and water to make food. Reason number nine. When varieties are planted alternately across the field, the farmer can't fix a problem with one of the varieties should it occur. How does a farmer replant a field if he needs to? Worse yet, how do you harvest a field if for some reason one variety becomes lodged and the other one is standing perfectly? That is a very difficult situation to be in during harvest. Number 10, how do you stop a disease that starts in one variety and moves to another? Once a disease moves into a field, it is already too late to prevent the damage. And when a variety that does not normally get the disease is placed beside a susceptible variety, it can get disease too. Non-susceptible hosts can become susceptible when exposed to a disease for a long period of time. Reason number 11. Any difference in maturity between two varieties planted side by side prolongs the length of time damaging insects may remain in a field. We know that insects always look for the freshest, youngest hosts on which to feed and lay their eggs. For example, rootworm beetles and other insects find the youngest silks possible when entering a cornfield. If you have a field that alternates two varieties across the field that silk at different times, you're going to have young silks that are attractive to insects in that entire field for a much longer period of time, clipping silks and eventually laying eggs. Finally, reason number 12. Growers won't learn about differences in genetic abilities of each variety because rather than narrowing down the variables, they increase them geometrically by splitting the planter. Farmers want and need top yields. But the best place to start when producing the highest yields is to plant a portfolio of hybrids in the farm. You, the seed sales rep, needs to select a group of varieties for the farm without basing the decision on which varieties did best the previous year. Then plant each of those varieties in a complete block in the farmer's field. That will allow each of the homogeneous varieties planted to yield their maximum potential because the grower will be better able to give each of the varieties what they need when they need it. You know, our number one goal at the R.C. Thomas Company is to help seed sellers, help them learn how to lead farmers where they do not know they need to go. You know, it's not the farmer's fault that they don't know about the damage they do to their livelihood when they split the planter. No one ever taught them they shouldn't do it. Seed sellers need to wake up and step up. They need to take a leadership role in selecting varieties for their customers and then help ensure those varieties produce their real potential by protecting them from the 1,000 variables that happen every year. Every variety offered in the marketplace today can produce twice as much as any farmer is getting right now. There is so much potential being wasted because we allow farmers to make these kinds of mistakes. There is no excuse for farmers being allowed to test varieties to see if they will perform on their farm before they buy them, let alone run tests between varieties. Varieties are already scientifically tested thousands of times in hundreds of environments over numerous years before they are ever sold to a farmer. It's time to get in the game, seed sellers, and change not only your customers' thinking, but change your thinking too. Now it's time to take some questions from our listeners. Our first question is from Greg from Michigan, and he writes, "Dear Rod, I've been a seed sales rep for over 15 years. My sales are growing every year, but slowly. In your journals and videos, you talk about following planters in the spring and riding combines in the fall. As a farmer dealer, it's hard to do that when I'm busy planting and harvesting myself. I want to follow planters in the spring and ride combines in the fall. But what is your advice for a farmer sales rep in this situation?" That's a great question, Greg. The first thing you have to decide is whether you want to be a farmer who sells seed or you are in the seed business and also farm. Some of the most successful seed sellers today that I know are also pretty large farmers. But in order to succeed at both, they had to first change how they looked at each business. You don't need to abandon your farming operation to be in the seed business, but you do need to make some significant changes in how you think. First, you must decide that being at your customer's planter in the spring is the number one customer contact of the year. Then you need to either attend my one-day training on planting customers, how to visit planters in the spring. Once you understand how to do it, you need to either shut your planter down over the noon hour or get someone to run it for you over the noon hour so you can visit at least three planters. Remember, when you do it, it's only a 10-minute stop. The exact same idea pertains to riding harvesters. Then stop your combine over noon hour or get someone to run it over the noon hour and ride a harvester or two during lunchtime. Remember, it's only a 45-minute ride or two rounds at each stop. Remember, if you want to do it, you have to make some changes. Our second question is from Frustrated Charles. He says, "Dear Rod, the weather this spring has been absolutely crazy as we continue to get a new snowstorm or rain every single week. My customers are getting anxious and stir crazy and wanting to change varieties or plant a different crop. I'm afraid I might get a lot of my seed coming back. What should I do right now?" Charles, you know that if you leave farmers alone, they will start thinking about what they think they should be doing that they're not doing. They think about everything except sticking to the plan you had laid out for them. Don't let them do that. You need to find out what they're thinking. So go see every one of your customers right now. Do the best you can to keep them on track to the plan you had laid out. Remember, we have at least three more weeks in the planting season before you ever even think about changing maturities, let alone varieties or planting a different crop. Get out there with every one of your customers and make sure they're thinking the way you want them to think. Until next time, remember, the secret code to getting sales is not programs, products, or price. It's a highly trained you.
Thank you for listening to Seed Seller Training Radio from Rod Ostis and the R.C. Thomas Company.